From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It's Tuesday, the day before the 4th of July, and we all got together. At the time that we're recording this, we have a little bit of news to talk about, but it is the three of us today. I hope you guys are having a good day, and, you know, I'm trying to get through it myself.
It'll be okay, Ryan.
Good.
And it'll be okay.
I'm having a good day.
One way or the other. And, you know, it's going to be okay for a guy that we should talk about, too. But before we get to that, folks, you know where to find Seth over at The Athletic. Just finished a series, right, on Patty Mahomes. We're going to talk about some of that later. Find Chris at LockedOnChiefs.com, our managing editor in chief. And you can find my stuff over at RGR on YouTube. And if you do check that out, I just put one up here a couple days ago about the wide receivers. So have a look at that. And what we got as we're getting ready to record this, a little bit of news with Cam Chancellor deciding to retire. He experienced an injury in November, has not been able to heal from his own words. And just what does that do for you guys? And Chris, like, where do you see him as a player that he's been over the last couple of years?
Well, I think it's a huge loss for Seattle, but I think that it's something that they already figured was coming. Cam Chancellor really, in a way, redefined the safety position. He brought a lot of power, and he played very well for several years, but he has not been the same player. I don't think he played the same last year as he did the year before. I think he has been injured a little bit more than in the past, and I think that's slowed him down a little bit as well.
You know, Seth, he's really unique, right? I mean, he's not a lot of the perception is, right?
Yes. A lot of people perceive Cam as, like, you know, just purely a box safety, and I completely disagree with that. He played all over that defense. He played anywhere they needed him. He could do he really was, you know, their Eric Berry, only in my opinion, I mean, obviously surrounded by superior talent. And I'd argue maybe even utilized better. He did everything. He would cover slot receivers. He'd cover tight ends. He'd play linebacker. They even had him in single high at times. And everyone kind of talks about him like he was just this linebacker that was limited. He was really, really great in coverage. He is, in my opinion, one of the best safeties of the era. And, you know, like Chris kind of alluded to, his peak wasn't for a really long time, but I do think he should be remembered. And this is just my opinion, because people can talk about Earl Thomas or Richard Sherman. I think he should be remembered as the most important player on one of the best defenses of all time, because I think he was.
You'll get no argument from me. My favorite aspect of his game, and like you said, he was at the top for maybe a shorter time than most, but his recognition and acceleration out of that recognition is what set him apart for me. And I liked watching him play. It reminded me from time, and you can't compare him to a great, but one of my all-time favorite players is Ronnie Lott, and there are aspects of his closure that remind me a lot of him.
Yes, I would agree with that. He just saw and closed. And it was interesting because he wasn't considered a super fast safety, but you can see the benefits of recognition and instinct and how he just always seemed a second faster to the ball. He really, when I, and again, this is a hopes and dreams, right? So don't quote me on this. When I watched Dorian O'Daniel's film, the strength of hit that he has is that ability to close that you just talked about. And then, I mean, he just honed in on the ball. And that's obviously, you know, your hope.
You heard it here first. Dorian O'Daniel is going to be the next Cam Chancellor.
Yep, literally verbatim. Exactly.
You're welcome, Seth. I just wanted to throw it out there for you.
I'm willing to resign if he's not. I'm kidding. I'm really not willing to. You will have to pry this job from my cold, dead body. But he's a great player. And I mean, I never heard of, he played the game super physical, but it didn't seem like he was ever a dink about it. Like, other players seem to respect him and like him. I never heard anything but good things about him off the field. I just seemed like a world-class guy. And I'm curious how history remembers him. Cause again, it was a short period of time, and Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman got a lot of the attention But I really think I think it was Cam that by and large was the heart and soul there.
Well, I have to ask the question. Wasn't he held out for a year trying to get a contract, right? And this was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. Didn't he come back and get injured?
I think so, yeah.
And the whole reason I'm saying that, I'm not disagreeing with them holding out. These players don't last forever. Obviously, that is exactly what we're seeing right now. He has to retire because of injury. My only point is that when you have players that hold out because of contracts, generally speaking, it's not going to end up well for the player. They're probably going to get injured. That just seems to be something that we've seen over the past couple of years. Unfortunately,
with the lack of the offseason program and that kind of thing.
Yep.
I mean,
yep. Lack of getting up to speed for the game.
Yeah. And that takes me to a point that when I think about Chancellor and about like you said, Seth, more malleable, can play more roles than he's really remembered to be. That reminds me of Barry as well. And with Eric missing last season, luckily the injury came early, because just like Chris said, that offseason program is important, and it feels like as we get ready for camp this year that Barry is back. And Seth, what's your feeling right now from what you've seen in the few comments that Eric's actually made?
I've only seen good positive things. It seems like he's back all the way. I haven't heard anything about him being limited at any point.
And that's beside wanting to run through a wall when he starts talking. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, besides that. Well, that's everyone. Like, he's – I mean, I'm sure you guys remember, you know, on Twitter someone posted, like, a hype video or whatever of him hyping up the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Full disclosure, did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah.
Were you filming that?
Yep, that was me. Full disclosure, I normally find those types of things kind of stupid, honestly. A lot of the times people are just saying nonsense. But, like, his stuff, I was just like, I want to die for that man right now. I want to. Like, he's just like, well, everything that he says has a certain gravitas to it because of what he's gone through. You know what I mean? And he just, he's unbelievable. But everything I've heard, and I've talked to Nate Taylor, the Athletics beat guy, you know, about how he looks, and he says he looks like Eric Berry. He's running around, he's leading people, he's making plays, he's incredibly intense. He just looks like himself. And I just remember the first time that I realized that might be happening, it was actually the day the Alex Smith trade overshadowed this. But I remember, I think this is one of the things we were talking about when the Alex Smith trade went down, was Chris Conley posting a joke gif of, you know, rehabbing with Eric Berry, be like, and then showed Captain America lapping someone.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that makes me feel pretty good about where he is. I haven't heard anything but good things. I don't know about you guys, though.
And if you guys if anybody wants to go and hear one of the best episodes I think we've ever recorded as a trio, go back and listen to the announcement of the Alex Smith trade.
Yeah, that was a good time. I'll bring that up and put it in the show notes, too.
That was a lot of fun. And you, both of you were giving me a bunch of crap, which I get, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
So dramatic, that one. That's why. You earned
God.
It.
How yeah. am I going to just spit that out?
I don't know. Like in English?
With words?
Dude, I was basically speaking as you type, so.
That was, holy cow. Holy cow. And I'm just like, go on.
Oh, well, enough of memory lane. I'll link that up in the show notes, folks. So if you want to go listen to that again, it's entertaining for us anyway. We'll take a quick second and then we'll come back and talk about, you know, everybody's favorite topic.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs, you know, or Locked On Chiefs, if you don't want to call it Locked On Chiefs.
Locked On. I like that. Very prehistoric.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. And so one thing I want to talk to you guys about, I'm excited to see whether you use all of that or just part of it.
Nope. See ya.
Just so you can remind people who the real podcasters are. So one thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, and you referenced it, Ryan, the Beyond the Arm series wrapped up this last week, And I wrote the final piece, as was always the plan, on Patrick Mahomes' mental acuity and his attitude and how I view that as, based on the evidence we have available, something special. And so I was just curious. I wanted to run through a few of the points that I made in the article. Now, I'm sure you guys have both read it like six times because you both just, you know, are so good like that. But I just...
Your prose is a...
Oh, yes, that's me. If you're in love with parenthetical asides, it certainly is. So the first...
Let me clarify real quick before you get going, though, because this is the kind of thing that when people talk about scouting, this is mental acuity. You're actually talking about the way they process information that they yep. see in order to adjust the play or their performance, right?
Correct. And pick up playbooks, just the entire thing. You know, you might call it football intelligence, right? Those intangibles. And so, yeah, when I say mental acuity, yes, I'm talking about pre-snap and post-snap reads, picking up a playbook, understanding how defenses work, all of that, right? And when I talk about attitude, I'm just talking about that, you know, that thing that none of us know how to describe, but we all want in a player, right? That gym rat, whatever.
But Seth, he played in a spread offense in college.
I swear to God, Chris. So that's the funny thing, because we're still dealing with this. My mentions, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but you know, my mentions get filled with people. Hey, do you think Patrick Mahomes is having problems picking up the offense? And I'm like, No. Like, why would I think that? Haven't heard a whisper of that other than one person speculating, you know? And so here's what I wanted to do is look at, here's what we know.
The real problem though, is the one person that speculated has a little bit of a larger voice than most.
Right. And that's what ends up happening. But what are you going to do? That's the nature right. of the beast. So here's what I want to ask you guys about. So I know I've talked to you guys in the past about an article that Doug Farrar with Bleacher Report wrote about Mahomes, where they went through some plays together, right? Mm-hmm. And so during that piece, it came up and Farrar asked, and Mahomes confirmed it, that he had the ability to audible any play into any play, right? Total control of the offense at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And so... And this was as a junior, keep in mind. And so here's what I want to ask you guys about. And I want you to tell me if you've heard of this. And we'll talk about the type of offense they had if you really want to. Mahomes started playing quarterback his junior year in high school. He didn't play for years. Like from fourth grade to like his freshman year, he didn't play football. Then he played safety for a couple years. Then his junior year, he started playing quarterback part-time and then started playing full-time midway through the year. So junior year in high school, by the time he hit his junior year in college, 4 years later, he had complete and total responsibility at the line of scrimmage for protections, for routes, to audible in any play. Have you ever heard of someone making that big a jump in 4 years?
I haven't.
Quite frankly, no.
Yeah, I haven't. The one thing that I will say is that everybody's talking now that it really works to players' advantages if they are multi-sport athletes because it teaches them multiple different things, but I have not heard of anything like what you're referring to. To me, that just goes to show the potential that he does show.
Well, I enjoy the fact that and to draw on that, you know, learning, you know, when to turn a double play in a specific time. He played shortstop while he was in high school. Learning
yep.
what you're trying to do, taking signals from batting coaches when you're at the plate. Some of these skills cross over, and it is that kind of yep. processing on the go. Obviously not in a 10-second football snap because baseball's a differently paced game, but I do think that mm-hmm. that comes over. And the thing that I like is that he made the commitment. He got into the system. Yes, it was a specific type of offense. And maybe mm-hmm. Not having played that long before was, you know, didn't have that things to unlearn, but he dug in there. I mean, he sent other quarterbacks packing. We've talked about how many guys had to transfer from Tech because yeah. of him.
And I first think, round picks.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I think sets him apart. Clearly, if the coaching staff is letting go of other quality prospects because he's got to have a special ability to run that offense.
Right. And so, and here's the other funny thing. during that article, and I thought you guys might find this amusing, Farrar asked, you know, because, you know, another thing is the verbiage, right? Oh, how are they gonna spit out complicated verbiage? Farrar asked him, so what was, you know, one of the most complicated plays in your playbook? And Mahomes said, well, probably green rug, rock, pop, 2 East, Bill Log, 95 Z post, B Will. And then he went on in a full paragraph and explained literally what every one of those words meant. You got to keep in mind, this is during an interview. It's not like he had his playbook in front of him.
Right.
That's a complicated play call.
That is. It honestly, it sounds a lot like Andy's.
It does. I mean, and obviously, and you guys are around football enough to know, each of those things has a specific connotation. But as the quarterback, it's his job to know each of those to be able to direct his receivers. To, you know how it is. The running backs are only listening to one part of it.
Yep.
The receivers are only listening to another part. He's got to know the whole thing by heart. And for his coach to trust him with that indicates a big deal about him. And so I was just curious. I mean, can either of you remember what I just said? With that play,
there was a Z in there.
There's a pop Will, I think.
Yeah, there was a Z. Yeah, there. Yeah, I mean that's tough stuff. And so here's the other thing that I don't think people are talking about enough. And then and we'll see. I'll just go to this because I know we're going to run short of time because I could talk about Mahomes all day, and I know you guys could too. You referenced baseball. I found this quote from his college. Or his high school baseball coach. He said he's the smartest baseball player I've ever coached. He's like having a coach out there. That's a great quote about a high school kid. Yep. And Ryan, I'm glad you talked about some of the things. And you know, baseball is more of an individual sport. It's more of a simple sport. But there's a lot to think about there. There's more situational stuff than people realize.
Mm-hmm. And it's tough to process. And they put faith in players to be able to do that. And, you know, calling him a coach on the field, even if it was in baseball, that's still that's a quarterback's job description. You have to lead that huddle and make sure that everybody else knows their job. So you have to be 100% certain.
Absolutely. And then there was go ahead.
I was just going to say, how much do you think things would have changed had he picked up a football 2 or 3 years earlier and started playing QB?
Man. Genuinely tough to say.
He would have been a consensus number one overall pick.
I think he might have been.
I would wait. He would have declared as a sophomore.
Yep.
And would be in Cleveland or something.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, it's just curious. Like, if he had the tape that he had, it's almost like the video game numbers he put up in that offense hurt him. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting. And here's the one final thing that I want you guys to consider. And we've talked about this a little bit in the past. Can you imagine what Andy Reid would think of any of us if we were locked in a room with him for 6 hours and he grilled us on our football intelligence?
I don't know. What did I get to bring in the room?
Nothing, apparently.
Well, the right beers, and Andy's going to love me.
Yeah, I'll bring in a bottle of Jack.
I would definitely bring a cheeseburger.
There you go. I like the way your head's at. But that's the interesting thing to me. You know, Andy Reid, as it has become clear since the draft, did a lot of the work on Mahomes.
Yep.
He's the one that met with him for 6 hours. And he openly said, yeah, he absolutely should. And the phrase he uses, they tried to bury him. They tried. If Andy Reid wanted to bury me, football-wise, I mean, that would take him, what, 6 or 7 minutes?
You'd be 20 feet under in an hour.
Oh, absolutely. And so here's my theory to you guys, and I want you guys to tell me what you think of this. Chris, you first. Here's my theory. If Patrick Mahomes had an average arm, people would be talking about what a smart quarterback he is. But because he's got such a great arm, they're not. Do you think that's true or false?
I'm going to go false, mainly because I think the football brain hasn't had the opportunity to be as on display as it has been for other players.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, like I kind of said a couple minutes ago, if he comes out and starts playing football 3 years before and is playing Pop Warner football and starts playing QB then, he's probably at a different school. He's probably somewhere else. Or he's having more success as a freshman or sophomore, wherever he is. And he's a consensus number one pick. So I think that the arm does help, but I don't think that it's talked about in the same realm if people know his football smarts. But I guess I could understand where you're going with that, because what you're basically saying is you think that they look at the arm and they just label him as an arm only.
Correct. He's a gunslinger. Yep. And I think we have a tendency to focus on individual things. Ryan?
Well, yeah, you're right. But, it doesn't – I love his persona and the fact that in a glancing question on Good Morning Football, how far can you throw this? 85 yards. There's a persona there. You know, it's not like he's hiding the fact, you know. It's
right.
A first thing he brings up as well. So I just think it's hilarious.
Yes. It's just interesting to me. I just remember for years getting so mad when people would talk about Jamaal Charles, and all they talk about was how fast he was, right? Mm. And they wouldn't talk about his balance or his vision and these other things that made him special. And I really see
his best asset.
It wasn't. His vision and his balance were unbelievable. That and that ability to – well, yeah, that comes in balance. But, I mean, the man would make cuts at like 45 degrees angle. It was insane.
Yeah, that plant flip, his change of direction was not going to be seen for a long time.
Yeah, but if you take away his vision, none of it matters.
For sure.
Exactly. And
his vision was out of this world. So I completely agree with that sentiment.
Right, and so that's where I kind of see something similar happening. And we'll see how Mahomes does at the pro level. But it's just interesting to me that with all the stuff that we see that's positive about him, and plus, let's face it, Cliff there at Tech, it's not like he's running a high school spread offense. You know what I mean?
No.
This isn't a two-page playbook here. Is it as thick as Andy Reid's? No. Is it still a copious playbook? Absolutely.
Well, and that just goes to show you that Mahomes can handle more than we thought. I mean, if I remember correctly, and before Mahomes, before Webb, I'm trying to think of who else was there. I remember years and years ago when, you know, everybody was throwing up signs on the sidelines. I thought Tech was one of the teams that used it, but that was pre-Cliff, right?
I believe so, yes.
Used that check with me style of play interaction.
Right. Like, he gets the play from the sideline, obviously, just like a pro quarterback does. But it's not like what Jared Goff did last year with the Rams, which was like, this is the first time anyone's done that at the pro level. And holy crap, it works. So I bet you more people are going to do this, you know, where he looks to the sideline for adjustments, which I got to tell you, I don't know if that's sustainable, just for the record.
That's about my least favorite thing about college football, period.
Right. You're not really a brain. So that's just my theory on Mahomes. And I appreciate you guys going down that, you know, and of course I've got to plug it. If someone's looking for it and the entire Beyond the Arm series, that's on The Athletic. And so I think we've talked Mahomes to death yet again. So we're going to take one more quick break and, then we'll close out here with, Chris telling us many wonderful things like he always does.
Boy, way to set me up there, buddy. I really appreciate that.
No pressure, Chris. Blow our minds.
Yeah, my last comment on Mahomes, though, real quick. I did see that Andy Reid has now made a comment, and I'm not sure who this came through, but he compared Mahomes to Brett Favre several times in the pre-draft process. So there's that there as well.
Stop yelling at me, people, when I do that.
Well, it just goes to show you that he saw a lot of Favre in him, and that, you know, obviously Favre threw a ton of picks, but if Mahomes can be anything like Favre, that's a win for Kansas City long term.
Yeah,
absolutely. And Favre was another guy whose mental acuity was underrated.
No, I completely agree. The final thing that we'll talk about real quick, and this holds a special place in my heart, we will not be having a show tomorrow. It is going to be July 4th. We are taking the day off. I am turning another year older tomorrow. Another year older tomorrow. I cannot speak.
Starting to get old, man.
Well, technically, you're turning another day older, too. And so both are true.
That's true.
Yeah.
Damn, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Every minute that ticks by is another minute away.
And it's another minute that Seth can bill for.
Yes.
Okay. thank you all for listening again. Like I said, we will not be having a show on Wednesday, July 4th. Spend some time with your families. Enjoy the holiday. That is all I really have.
Please be safe. Don't pull a JPP.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I don't want to hear about any stories. Gentlemen, I hope both of you have a great holiday. And folks, here's to your Independence Day, and we will talk to you after the holiday.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter, @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.